my personality to be jittery. It's part of my charm.
Wrestling fans,
are you ready?
It's time for my 1-2-3 cents of a podcast on the Jittery Monkey Podcasting Network.
Give me the hell yeah!
Now, here's your host.
The man is also a very long, dear, personal friend of mine.
Does the guy have a name?
Yes, he has a name.
Kevin Huntsberger.
Woo!
Everyone, welcome to episode 116 of my 1-2-3 cents, the podcast, and I'm going to get to my guest in just a moment. I am talking with Red Daniels from Stride Pro Wrestling. And speaking of Stride Pro Wrestling, a huge show coming up this Saturday night. It is February 11th at the Illinois Star Center Mall in Marion in the CMA Dojo. Bell time is 6:30, and already announced some really epic matches. But the main event is going to be Red Daniels and his partner, Jake Capone. They are the Midwest Mafia. They'll be taking on the tag team champions, Team Triple X and Jay Spade and Joey O'Reilly. And I'm going to pick Red Daniels' brain here in just a few minutes and kind of get his insight into what has put him into the ring in the first place, because he is one of the very first graduates of the Stride Pro Wrestling School. I'm excited to talk to him about that. But also going to be happening that night, Cash Borden is getting a title shot against legacy champion Jerry Travelstead. Looking forward to that match going down. And then there's going to be a fatal three-way, or a triple threat match, not a fatal three-way, triple threat match between the other member of the Midwest Mafia, Big Roger Mathis. He'll be taking on Chris Hargis and former champion Axe Allwort. The winner of that match will get a shot against Stride Pro Wrestling champion Heath Hatton. So a big show again coming up. You can check them out on Facebook. I've got the link added here to the show description, as well as Twitter and Instagram. But without any further ado, Red Daniels, thanks so much for joining the podcast. And you've been around Stride Pro Wrestling since the very start as far as getting involved with the training program. What motivated you in the first place to become a professional wrestler?
Well, first off, thank you for having me. It's about time that you've had the most talented wrestler in all of Stride on your podcast.
I'm not going to disagree with that. You have shown a lot of hard work, dedication, promise, and devotion to this, which is a testament to your character, I believe.
I believe that you have to do, you know, whatever you're going to do, you got to put your all into it. That's why I'm the first one there and the last one to leave every time. But what made me want to become a professional wrestler, what made me want to join the school was, first of all, when I heard that it was going to be Heath Hatton's school, I knew it would be the best, because, I mean, he's been everywhere. He's one of the most talented wrestlers in the area. As much as I personally disagree with the man, I'm not going to deny that he's very talented. And it's been a dream. It's been something I've always wanted to do my entire life. There's been multiple times where I've tried to take that step, and I've tried to step into the ring, and I just didn't commit. And then I was at a point in my life where I thought I finally had the opportunity, and I was ready to give it my all, and so I just had to do it.
And you know, when you are from, we do Stride in Southern Illinois, Carterville, or Marion, Illinois, but very close to Carterville, which is where I live now too. And there was a big crowd of support there for you in those early days before you kind of aligned yourself with the Midwest Mafia. What did your family and friends think when you first said that you were going to go to school to become a professional wrestler? When we say school, you're obviously not going through you're not carrying books and a backpack, but you are going through the paces several times a week with Heath and others who have been there as trainers. Is that right?
Yeah. A lot of my family kind of were surprised. It's something I've talked about forever, wanted to do. I actually built a backyard wrestling ring in my yard and had wanted to do it my whole life, talked about it forever. So it wasn't a surprise to like my dad or anyone like that or any of my friends. My girlfriend was pretty surprised because she'd never really known. We had only been together for a little over a year at the time, and I told her I was going to do it, and she didn't like wrestling at the time, and she She really didn't get it, but now of me dragging her to all these shows and her watching me do it and all the bumps and bruises and cuts and all kinds of stuff, she really understands that it takes a special type of person to really enjoy this and be this dedicated. I'm that kind of person, and I'm the type of person that when I do something, I would be the best, and that's exactly why I do it, because I knew I could be successful, because I wanted to do it, and all the people support me because so many people supported me at the beginning because they've never had any reason not to. My whole life I've been the type of person that, you know, if I do something, it's going to be great. And so a lot of people came out to support me because I've supported them, and I'd like to think I have a pretty good foundation of support.
Yeah, that's important in all walks of life, but it is evident at these shows. And, you know, you said earlier, first one there, last one to leave, and that again says a lot to me because I've watched you in those early shows, and you have really evolved, and you've become you have quickly become a, you know, you see you guys go through these trainings and then they quit, they walk away, they don't make it all the way through, but you have persevered, and you are, you know, you hear the guys in the big leagues, the WWE, the legends. You know, I had Axel Jim Duggan on the show one time, and he said, you know, there's so many people out there who want to do it, but then when you look at the WWE roster, or, you know, any given roster for that matter, you know, there's only a handful of people that are there and that stay there and continue on to do it. So what you've done has been great, and I'm proud of you from the fact of I'm not from Carterville originally, but it is my home now, and it's awesome to see someone from this community growing and excelling in this business. And you're not just in Stride. You do travel around and do other shows. Is that right?
Yeah, that's right. I'll wrestle anywhere. There's not a single person in this world that I wouldn't step into the ring with, but I wrestled in Olney and Fairfield. I wrestled for USA Championship Wrestling. I've wrestled for three or four different promotions. I've drove 2 hours on a Tuesday night to wrestle for 30 minutes and drive back the next 2 hours only to be up for work the next day at 5 a.m. Did that for 5 or 6 weeks. Still plan on doing that. I wrestle anywhere, and I travel however far I need to. That's just part of it. That's one of the things that I was told by some of the people when I first started that, you know, this is a traveling game and you better get used to it to get your name out of there. So I've been doing whatever it takes.
Yeah, you've got to do that hustle and commit to it. What is the end game for Red Daniels? What is your moonshot? What do you want 5 years, 10 years down the road? Where do you want to see yourself? Because you don't strike me as someone who just wants to be a weekend warrior with this.
I mean, I tell myself a lot that that's kind of just, you know, I just do it to make sure that I never had regrets, and looking back, I got to do it. But I'd be lying if I told you I didn't see myself at least getting a tryout with the WWE someday. I've been working a lot on the diet and the nutrition and the physique part of it right now. This is my second year into it. February 10th is actually the 1 year anniversary of me joining wrestling school. That's why it kind of means like the whole world that February 11th, I'm going for those belts. So, I mean, I could see myself, you know, maybe wrestling in a couple different states, and I'm trying to get wherever I can this year, and then maybe next year try to hit it and get a real tryout with the WWE, because I think if they saw me and I had just a little bit more time to get under my belt, that they'd see that, you know, I'm passionate, I care, I'm dedicated, and that I'm a mind that can be molded, and I think that's what they want.
Yeah, you definitely do not give up on that. You are still young enough. You are still growing and developing, and, you know, I've noticed the change in the less than 1 year that you've been, or that I've been a part of Stride, and I guess really Stride itself forming about a year or so ago. So your dedication will take you far. I know that for sure. Now, let's talk a little bit about Saturday night. You are part of the Midwest Mafia now with Jake Capone, who was one of your opponents at one point. Then you guys were kind of forced into a tag team match together. You reluctantly were a part of that, but then by the end of the night, you had attacked the tag team champions, Jay Spade and Joey O'Reilly. So what's going on there?
Well, you know, I guess you get an opportunity and you take it. There's only a few golden opportunities given to you in the world. And obviously, I made the right choice when I wrestled Jake. He told me after the match that he saw something in me, and that, you know, after he beat me 1-2-3, but he told me that he really saw something in me, and that he thought that, you know, I could be something special, and he thought that if I decided to come along with him, that we could probably do something. So that's kind of what fueled my decision. That, you know, you go after the number one, you go after the guys who have the belts, and so we proved that we could take him out right there. I saw the opportunity. He saw the opportunity, and look at us now. We're sitting here. We won the number one contendership, and now we're main eventing, and we're going for those belts, and I think that we have a good shot. And if anybody out there who thinks we don't have a good shot taking them, that they've never watched the Mafia.
And that's another important point here. This is going to be the main event. It's called No Love Lost, which obviously there is no love lost between the Midwest Mafia and Team Triple X. Did you ever dream a year ago, because it'll be almost a year to the date that you started with your training, that in less than a year or right at that year mark, you would be main eventing a show?
I never imagined that I would be main eventing a show. I knew I had the potential. I knew that from my first match with AT Brooks back in June or July, I think. I knew that I was ready to go. I knew that I felt comfortable, and I had best. It's one of the things to say, the best match of my career was the second match of my career, and it was against Brandon Espinosa. It was the second match of my career. We went 25 minutes, and it was just as soon as I had that match, I knew that I could wrestle anybody. And so when I first started, I wouldn't think that I would wrestle that whole first year. And all the things I learned, I had over 20 matches in my first year of wrestling. I think that when I first took my first bump, I knew that I could do this. I knew that I think I could be a main event. I thought after my first day of practice.
So what was it like, because you hear the stories of men and women who want to get involved in wrestling and how they kind of, I don't want to say weed them out, but, you know, it's not, you know, people who don't follow wrestling or don't understand, and I would imagine that you probably get people who say stuff to you all the time, they just don't get it. What was that first experience like going to school? Was it what you expected, and what made you then come back for more?
It wasn't anything what I expected. I expected to, you know, hop in the ring and run the ropes and just, you know, start wrestling and body slamming people. And it wasn't like that. The first thing I did was Billy Hills sat me down and tried to get me to do a roll, a front roll, and I couldn't even do it. I couldn't do a somersault, basically. And I was frustrated. And from the first day, I couldn't roll. I couldn't figure any of it out. And then they told me to bump, and all I could think about was, you know, I wonder if this is basically going to be it. This will be the make or break. And I did it, and I never looked back. My first day of wrestling practice, I remember leaving. I just had a moment of doubt, and I thought, I don't know if this is for me. But one of my good friends who went there with me, he kind of talked to me and said, like, you know, you're still standing. You can make it through this. And then that's why I came back the next time and just kept coming back.
I would imagine getting through that first night is probably the toughest. Had you been in a wrestling ring before, or was that really your first experience even like running the ropes or even being inside a ring?
The first time I ever stepped into a ring was when I was younger. It was in Carbondale. I got to get in the ring. I had to pay $20 to meet Billy Gunn and Rick Steiner, the Dogface Gremlin. That picture still hangs on my wall. And the only reason I even did it was, I love Billy Gunn, the New Age Outlaws, my favorite tag team of all time, but I did it to get in the ring, just to feel it, just because that's what I wanted to. So ever since that, when I was like 11, the second time I ever got in a ring was when I started school.
Wow, that's awesome. So obviously a big fan of the New Age Outlaws, as you just mentioned. Who out there inspires you? Who are you watching today? Who do you like to, I don't want to say emulate, because I think you guys have a style that is developing into your own, but who do you look for inspiration when it comes to getting into the ring?
Well, when I first started, you know, starting to kind of figure out what kind of stuff I like to do, I watched a lot of Kane, because he's a big guy, but he's not. I'm about 6'2", 315, 300 pounds in that range, depends. And I don't see myself, I don't show up to wrestle like a guy who weighs that kind of weight. I use my size, I use my strength, but I don't want to be limited by the quote unquote big guy mantra. So I mean, I watched a lot of Kane because he can move. I watched a lot of Chris Hero matches. There's a guy in England, his name's Joe Coffey. He's a bigger guy. I really like a lot of his stuff. He's a tag team, the Coffey Brothers. That's kind of, I watched some of their stuff. The APA for some tag team stuff. You know, I watch guys, some old, more old guys like Tully Blanchard. I've just been, I try to watch indie guys, WWE guys, you know, anybody, old school, new school. I watch all kinds of stuff, and I'll ask guys all the time, you know, like, hey, you watched my match, any advice, or who's a guy I should watch, you know, kind of. Axe told me to watch Honky Tonk Man, so I've been on a Honky Tonk Man kick of watching stuff. So I'll listen to anybody, I'll watch anybody, but I kind of see myself as more of like a Kane type guy in the ring.
Well, and that's good that you not only get that input from others who have been around, but you have to, I think if you want to be good at anything, but especially this particular profession, you have to not just watch WWE programming. You have to look at the stuff from overseas, as you mentioned that you're doing, and stuff from way back when, to kind of learn from the best, because there's so much out there that that can be kind of a training for you. Now, are you still going through the paces with the training school? I know there was a ceremony a couple of months ago, and you received your diploma, if you will. You're obviously on the show. You're in the main event now. Is it something that you still go back for, and what are you doing still?
Yeah, I still come to almost every single practice. Not when I first, I'd only missed maybe one practice throughout the entire time before I graduated. After I took a few, you know, a little bit of step back, but I still try to come, and as much I try to come, not as much just to help myself, but to teach some of the younger guys who I know have that. I see that same drive. There's some of the guys who have just graduated or haven't graduated. You can tell from the day I've seen the first time they've ever stepped in the ring, and when I look in their eyes, I can see that same fire, that same passion, and it just makes me want to work harder. And they push me to be better than I am. And so I'll still come and I'll bump with them. I'll do whatever. I'll teach them anything that I know, and I'll listen to anything that they have, because you never stop learning, and anybody can teach you anything. And even if it's someone's going to teach you the wrong way to do something, you're still learning. So I still come to practice. I still come up there and I'll learn anything from any of the guys from Hatton, any of the Tony Flood, any of the people that want to come, or any of the guys. I'll help show them anything I know, give them advice, try to take any of them under my wing that want to help. I'll take them to any show I go to if they want to ride with me, anything like that.
So we've talked about you're still new to the game, so to speak, but what advice do you have for someone who may be listening and not realizing that, hey, there is a school right here in Southern Illinois that they could be a part of, or if they're listening elsewhere, how do you decide to make that first step? What advice would you give to a young fan like yourself who wanted to do it, had the passion to do it? How do you make that first step?
Well, there's a Facebook page, the Stride Pro Wrestling page. You can contact them if you have questions. But other than that, I just come out, you know, on a Thursday night to the mall, Thursday, 7 o'clock, just show up. And that's the best way to get it done. Show up, you know, and ask some questions and get into classes and just get going. Because if you want to do it, you don't need to sit around and think about it. You know, it's already in your head. There is no doubt. If you want to show up and you think you might want to do it, then you already want to do it.
Yeah.
It's the hardest thing you're ever going to do. I've played sports, you know, I've worked my entire life, and, you know, this is the hardest thing I've ever done. There were days where I threw up in that ring. There were days where I, you know, I thought I couldn't go, I couldn't breathe, I couldn't keep going, but you always just got to keep pushing through.
Yeah, you've got the dedication and the drive for sure to do that, and it's earned you now a tag team championship opportunity. And Jay Spade, Joey O'Reilly, they've obviously been around for a long time. I've called matches and hung out with those guys back in the AAPW days, and even before that they were around. How do you and Jake gear up? I mean, obviously you outweigh these guys by quite a bit, but how do you prepare for what their aerial assault is? You know, Joey O'Reilly in particular is a great high flyer. So how do you keep these two guys grounded and put them on a level where you can compete with them?
I think that the key to this matchup is going to be that we need to get at him and get after him quick. We need to, you know, we need to come after him, and we need to make sure that they never get a chance to fire the crowd up. The crowd never gets a chance to get behind them. They never get a chance to even go up to the top rope, because we've already thrown them through anything and everything we could find, and we've already crushed them. And they don't get a chance to know what hit them, because we're as you said, we're two big guys. We're 300 plus guys. And so if they come into that ring and they want to, the only chance they have is to try to use their speed and their quickness. But if we got our hands on them, it's over. So I think that Capone and I, we both need to come in there and we need to get our hands on them and we need to end it quick.
What about Roger Mathis? Is this going to be Freebird style rules if you guys win, or New Day? Or I know he's got his eyes too on the championship with Heath Hatton, as he is going to be a part of that. I keep wanting to say Fatal Three Way, and it's not a Fatal Three Way. It's a
Triple Threat.
Thank you, good Lord. Yeah, he's part of that Triple Threat match. So. There's a potential here that the Midwest Mafia will continue to run roughshod and dominate Stride Pro Wrestling in 2017.
Yeah, I wouldn't say that we would try to go Freebird rules or anything like that, because I think that, you know, we need to keep Roger focused on the big prize. We need to keep Roger focused on, you know, shutting up Heath Hatton and taking that belt and bringing it back to the Mafia. Jake and I are going to do our thing. We'll get, you know, we're completely confident that we'll come in there. And we're gonna take our belts. We're gonna bring every single belt home, except the legacy belt. We'll figure out something for that later. But I'd say that we're gonna try to just Roger focused on, you know, winning that triple threat and then going on and hopefully beat that.
Well, the Midwest Mafia has certainly been on a roll since forming middle of last year. Red Daniels, all the best of luck to you. Anything else you want to add before we wrap things up here on My 1-2-3 Cents the podcast?
I just say, if anybody's listening to this and, you know, you're thinking if you should come or not, you should come, because it's looking out to be a great card, and the Mafia, they're going to show up. We're going to make sure that it may not be the best show, but it'll be entertaining, because we're going to come out there and we're going to crush everybody's hopes and dreams, and we're going to take those belts. And if you like it, that's great. And if you don't, you know what? Tough.
Alrighty, one last word from you. Social media, plug yourself. I know you're on Twitter and Facebook for sure.
Yeah, it's at The Real Red Daniels. No, it's at The Red Daniels. It's kind of a new Twitter account. At The Red Daniels on Twitter, and then there's a Facebook page, Red Daniels on Facebook. You can check me out on both of those. I try to post stuff daily. I try to get videos out there and, you know, all kinds of stuff for fans. And I always respond to messages and tweets and whatever if anybody wants to tweet me or message me or like or comment or anything like that.
Yeah, very active on social media. Red Daniels, thanks so much. I'll have all of his bio stuff, links and whatnot, in the write-up for this podcast. Red, thanks so much for being a part of the show. Good luck Saturday night. I'll see you out there, man.
Thank you.
All right, guys, that was the guest, Red Daniels, a part of Stride Pro Wrestling. I'm excited for this show coming up on Saturday night. Again, it is February 11th, No Love Lost. If you can make it out there, that would be awesome. I'll have all the links and connections on how to get there in the bio page of My 1-2-3 Cents as well. Also, want to plug Chad Smart. He is my partner in crime here occasionally on the podcast. He has his own show now. It is called Positive Cynicism right here on Jittery Monkey. So be sure to check that out, as well as the other fine programming here on the Jittery Monkey Podcast Network, run by Greg Mahochko, of course, who engineers this show and all the others. Thanks for having me on board, Greg. I appreciate it. Check out his Five Heart podcast for Nebraska Huskers fans. And also check out Nerds United. So lots of other things coming up on the horizon here for My 1-2-3 Cents. Not only the podcast, but the blog as well. YouTube is back up and running. I've got a review of the new WWE candy bars. I want you to check that out. And you know what? More prizes coming down the road as well. So be sure to support your indie wrestling wherever you live. And also be sure to support the podcast here on the Jittery Monkey Podcasting Network. Have a great week, everyone. We'll talk again soon.
This is a production of the Jittery Monkey Podcast Network. For more jittery shenanigans, go to jitterymonkey.com.